Sometimes when I'm preparing a sermon message, I struggle during the week. No, all weeks. I struggle during the week, but some are harder than others. And this one, God gave me the mindset that what we were going to talk about early, I mean on Sunday afternoon. And on Friday afternoon, I'm still trying to twist this thing around to understand it, to as He would want us to. And finally, he said, "Randy, you're making it too difficult." You ever heard God say that? Jerry said this earlier. "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Simple. "What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." The Christian life is difficult to walk, but it does not have to be hard. He has given us His great and awesome Spirit to lead us through it. And it's titled, "Freedom to Become Through God's Love." Freedom that He has given us. If you were to ask a newly engaged couple, what is true love? "Oh, I'm going to give my life and do this and I'm going to..." All that kind of stuff. And sometimes I will say, "Would you let her go?" "Well, no, I wouldn't do that." Then it's not true love. True love has to be given the opportunity to be rejected, or it's not true love. Yeah, you struggle with that for a week. But that's what God has given us. He has given us His awesome abiding love, knowing that we have the opportunity to reject it or accept it. Accept it or reject it. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. "Blessed or free," that's another word you can put there, "is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on His law day and night." Do you see freedom in that? So often we look at our salvation as freedom from from going to hell. But it's so much more than that. We have the freedom to either walk with the mockers or live with the righteous. That's a simple, simple way. The NIV says it like this: "Happy or free is the man who does not walk in the way sinful men tell him to." We live in a way, in a world, that the world wants to tell you how to think, tell you what truth is, to tell you how to live your life. No, we're free. We want everybody to be free. No, they tell you. Or stand in the path of sinners. It's easier just to go along, isn't it, than to voice your opinion. Or sit in with those who laugh at the truth. But he finds joy in the words or law of the Lord, and he thinks about his law day and night. He uses God's word to teach him how to think, how to respond, how to see himself. Everything about this life in this world, God's word brings it down. It's very simple. Did you notice the progression? "Do not walk in the way of sinful men tell you to." As you listen to your, whatever you listen to, your news or whatever, they're telling you how to think, what is important, what this newscast says or what this thing does. They're trying to tell you how to think. And he says, don't listen to sinful men. Don't do that. Why do you let that disturb you? Why do you let the things that might happen disturb you? God is in control. Will they happen? Maybe. But God is in control. That means to align one's life or decision or character with what the world says. So we go from listening to actually standing with them. Now, I'm not going to be overt about this, no. But we're going to say, yeah, yeah. We went from the inability to define what a woman is. How do you do that? Yeah, we think it's silly. But no, that's where we were at. I can't tell you what a woman is. I can. I can. actively supporting or intentionally adopting a way of thinking. What difference does it make? We're all free to be whoever we want to be. But then that leads to sitting in the company of mockers, where they ridicule Bible-believing, Bible-living Christians because they don't agree with what our stand is and how we live our lives for Christ Jesus. That's setting into lifestyle that actively defiles, ridicules, and despises God's truth and authority. What? Nothing of it. Folks, this is coming to America. Okay, it's out of the box. Okay, it's coming. And we, and especially us, have to prepare ourselves to be able to think as Jesus thought. It's whatever happens out there, this world is not our own. We're heading someplace far better. We are God's representative in a sinful world, and as a result, we must have our thought process in line and live in not just the freedom of not going to hell, but the freedom of everything God is allowing us to do. How did the mocker get this way? Well, Randy, he chose a direction in his life, and he made his decisions. That's true. That's exactly true. Who gave him that freedom to do that? God did. He gave him the freedom to reject his law and reject his teaching. It's called self-will or self-determination, however you want to say that. I will be my own God. I will decide what's right and wrong. If I want to be a woman, I can be a woman. Can you tell I struggle with that just a little bit? I mean, there's some things that are just stupid. Look at this. God gives us the ability to reject his thoughts. Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden, then God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will certainly die." Do you hear freedom in this command? You are free. You're even free to eat of the tree I've told you not to. But there will be consequences. You're free. And can you see man go, I'm not free anymore. I should be allowed to eat that. After all, I was made in God's image. I should be allowed. And that's how we think at times. I should be allowed to do that or that or that. And God says, no. Sometimes everybody else can do it, but not me. I know you, Randy. And for that right there, no. Was there a better way to use their freedom? Yeah. Whose delight is in the law, the word of the Lord, and he meditates or he ponders on it day and night. Longing to live a life that pleases God, he thinks about God's word. Not just in his devotional time, as he's going through the day, getting ready for the night. He's thinking about it. What did I read today? How do I apply this? God, give me wisdom how to use this. The NIV says he finds joy in the law of the Lord and thinks about his law day and night. He meditates. He ponders, learning the wisdom of it. We see this in Joshua. Joshua had to take over for Moses. How would you like to have done that? Yeah. At the end of it all, Joshua looks at all the leaders and says in Joshua 24:14-15, Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Here's the decisions you've got. Here's the freedom you've got. Throw away the gods of your ancestors' worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do you see the freedom in that? You've seen all that God has done. He's brought us out of Egypt. We walked through a couple of pretty deep pools there for a while, and nobody, it's just, did you see what God did? Kept us alive for 40 years, manna from heaven, defeating an army of warriors in which we were not warriors, but God did it. And but you have, you're free to choose which direction to take. Let's see this in action. Turn to Judges chapter 6. We're going to read quite a few verses here about a man named Gideon. And God is going to set him free to see himself differently. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord, now they cried out to the Lord because they would not, they would worship like the Amorites. God would send a prophet to tell them, don't do this. Bad things are going to happen. They ignored it. Bad things happened and they go, what is going on? And God says, well, you didn't listen to me. So this is one of those times. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of the land, out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all of your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me. Amen. I think each one of us could say, yeah, there have been times. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak at Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezite, whose son Gideon was thrashing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Where did they thrash wheat back then? Up on the tallest hill they could find. They needed to throw the wheat up so the chaff could be blown away and the seed could fall down. And he is down in the lowest part of their village in a wine press, so he would not... Oh, would you like to do that work? Oh, can you... Blasted Midianites. I don't know where's God at. Just, oh, look, I'm a mess. And, you know, all those things that come to the mind. Now the angel comes down. He's looking all of this. And he, look what he says to him. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Can you see him go, what? What? Pardon me, my Lord. Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring you up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midianite. Anyone here ever feel that way? I'm a born again child of God, man, it feels like the Lord has abandoned me. That's where they're at. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not with you? Am I not sending you? Go. Verse 15. Pardon me. I got some questions. How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. There ain't no way I can do this, God. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. Let's pray. Father, many of us here have this type of attitude when we look at our lives. We're the least person from the smallest tribe from something that doesn't matter. And life has shown itself to us as we've struggled with some things that were passed down to us, as we've struggled with shame and sin and whatever it is. And if the angel came and looked at us and said that, we would just say, there ain't no way, and keep thrashing wheat. But you are telling us this morning that there is a freedom that you have given us through your love that we can see ourselves differently. And I pray that you take my feeble words and open them up in the hearts and minds that people can understand the freedom that we presently have. And I give you the praise in your name. Amen. John chapter 8, Jesus to the Jews who had believed in him said this, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. When you know the truth, you have the opportunity to be set free. Whatever has got you in bondage, it's not just salvation he's talking about. Not just the forgiveness of sins. Anything that is holding you bondage, you have the opportunity. You are free to begin the process of living free. Set free from what? Yeah. The law of sin and death? Yeah. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Therefore now there is no condemnation for those who in Christ Jesus. It might surprise you how many people come to me believing all that the scripture says, but struggling. Randy, did I do it right? Did I say the right words? One said to me, I didn't say the scriptures when it comes to the Roman road. I said, the Roman road wasn't written yet when Jesus said this. We make it too difficult. But we are set free from the power of sin. You need to get that. Why do I sin? Well, we've got a sinful nature and other things. But folks, sin does not, is no longer your master. That's what Romans 6 verse 14 says. It's no longer your master. And since sin is no longer your master, let me ask you, is addiction really your master? What about fear? Is that really your master? Or anger? Or regret? Or shame? Or hopelessness? Or the sense of worthlessness? Is that really your master? Or do we choose not to walk in the freedom God has given us? So how can I do that? Let's look at Gideon real quick. Determine not to squander the freedom God has blessed you with. There's a mindset we've got to have which says, that is not me any longer. I'm not there yet. It may be a long road. That is not me. I am no longer an addict. I still struggle with it. And I'm going to trust God to take me through that so it's not doesn't any longer just crave it. I'm no longer looking at myself as others do. I'm no longer looking and trying to hide the shame of the past and my failures. I am a born-again child of God full of great potential. And I'm gonna follow God's word, and I'm going to use the freedom he has given me to start walking in that direction. The nation of Israel has been blessed by God enormously. God had revealed himself to them. Folks, he had shown them who he was. He had given these words to know how to live close to him. God loves Jewish people, even today. But folks, he loves born-again children of God just as much. In fact, we are told we are grafted into the nation of Israel. Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. This is to a people who time and time and time again turn their back on him to serve other gods. And he says, I haven't left you. And in those times, Christians, in which it feels that God has left you, that is a lie. He still loves you. And he's still calling you with his unfaithfulness. Israel's response to them was this. Didn't listen to him. It's simple, Israel. Stop serving the Amorites' God. It's simple, right? It's not a hard decision. But they had troubles doing it. They could have lived in perfect peace. Perfect perfection, without fear of the fruit of their labor being taken. They could have lived that away. God's people possessing God's word, yet squandered their freedom to imitate the world. Did you see that? They squandered the freedom God has given to imitate the Amorites and those others. And just like Adam and Eve, they wanted to live their lives with God's blessing, but not his conditions. Now don't go throwing stones at them. Don't do that. Don't be judging them. We as born-again children of God have been blessed with even greater, with our sins forgiven and the Holy Spirit living within us, even greater blessing than the nation of Israel. We have the full counsel of God's word. They had just the first few books. Only certain people were filled with the Holy Spirit. We have that great privilege. We have a clear understanding of how God desires us to live for His glory. We have the example of Jesus Christ. They did not. Do we squander our freedom today like Israel? I cannot answer that for you. I cannot. Determine not to squander the freedom God has blessed you with. Look at your life through the freedom God has blessed you with. Look at your life, not through the eyes of anyone else, not even yourself. Look at your life through the eyes of Jesus. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now, did he look like a mighty warrior? No. Was he acting like a mighty warrior? No. Was he thinking like a mighty warrior? No. But Gideon, I am giving you the freedom to step outside your preconceptions of yourself and choose a new you. That's important, guys. God has looking at your life and He's giving you, taking away the preconceptions of who you are and your strengths and whatever, and He's saying, I'm giving you freedom to choose the new you. Gideon didn't look like a warrior, act or think like one. But God saw a mighty warrior hidden in Gideon and knew the potential of Gideon under his hand. He looked at Gideon and he saw truth. When you look at yourself and see failure, that's not truth. When you look at yourself and say, I'm not worth anything, that's not true. When you look at yourself and say, whatever the world says, that is not truth. God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love and I draw you with an everlasting kindness. That is truth. See, God looks past your failures, your fears, your weakness, your pride, all the way to the potential under His mighty hand. And God is giving you freedom to see yourself through His eyes using His Word. Not your imagination, using His Word. What's it say? Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. Once you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that sin debt was taken and placed upon Jesus. He carries that. And you are given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation now or when you stand before Him when you take that last breath. And as a result, we are free. We are free. Romans 8:37, now in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Not just everyday conquerors. You are more than adequate to live your life in the freedom God is offering you through the Holy Spirit. But Randy, I can't defeat it. No, you cannot. But you can listen to that still small voice that tells you, do this or don't do that. I counseled someone trying to get out of the gay lifestyle for several years. Yeah, that's a story all in itself. Randy, I have fallen again. I would get this phone call. I've fallen again. And I said, Where'd you go? I was just out for a walk. That's all I was doing. And I passed by this bar that's known for that. And I was thirsty and I just wanted to go in and get a drink. And I said, yeah, but you know, you don't have a car and that thing is 4 miles from your house. We do that to God. God, help me because I put myself in a position that's going to be very difficult for my body to say no to. And I said, didn't you hear no? And He says, yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. Don't see how close to sin you could get. You stay away from it. Stay away from it. Look at this, John 10:27-9. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I have given them eternal life. They shall never perish. Look at that. No one will snatch them out of my hand. No one will snatch them. That includes this guy. This guy. My Father has given to me and greater than all, no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. The 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, mine. Make him yours. Gideon, like us, has problems grasping himself as God sees him. He has problems. Verse 13, pardon me, Lord. Why is all this happening to us? You told us that things has that God has done all this great thing. Where is God at? Gideon is blaming God. Where is God at? And the Lord does not argue with him. I find that fascinating. But he encourages him to move forward. How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. Gideon doesn't agree with God's assessment of him. And when you say, I can't, Lord, you're not agreeing with his assessment of you. So much of our Christian life is lived right here, not right here. Right here. Verse 16, I will be with you. And let me tell you, you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none of us alive. You will be successful, Gideon. I'm going to tell you, as you're following the leadership of God and you're accepting the freedom that he gives you and you're learning who he is and who you are, he will bring that success to your life in ways you cannot even imagine. Gideon, I'm giving you the freedom to become what I am seeing in you. I'm giving you the freedom to do this. And it's exactly what God is doing with us today. I'm giving you the freedom to become who I see in you. And it will amaze you. So Gideon's got to choose to step into his freedom and become who he sees. A decision has to be made. So often we would like to sit and let God like work everything out and we just kind of walk through like it's a like level ground. No problems. That's not how it works. The Lord turned to him and he said, look at this. Go in the strength you have. Not in the strength of the Lord. He says, whatever you've got, go. Start using it. Go in your strength, the strength you have. I'm sending you. Gideon's got a decision. Will I choose to trust God and walk in freedom he has given me and let him take my freedom where he desires, which is the word blessing? Or will I stay where I am at, complaining, moaning, groaning, wonder where God is at, unsure of whether I'm saved or not, and, you know, all of that? What are we going to do with the freedom he has given us? Will we continue to make excuses? I can't serve here, God. I can't do this, God. I can't relate to this person, God, or this or me. I don't want to do mercy, nursery, God. No. God may say, we're doing nursery. Yes, we are. And we will continue to see ourselves through the eyes of flesh rather than the eyes of faith. Am I not sending you? Think of Abraham. I sent Abraham to the land of Canaan. He really didn't even know where he's going. He just had a direction. Think of Moses. I sent him back to Egypt. And there was a death warrant on his head. Think of Joshua. God, I don't want to follow Moses. I really don't want. There's no success in that. Yes, there was. They were just like you, Gideon. They didn't think they could either. I kept my word to them, but they began walking in the direction of my vision for their life that I was showing them. Abraham to the promised land. Did he make it? Yes. Moses back to Egypt, leading the nation of Israel out. Did he make it? Yes. Joshua taking over for Moses, was he a great military leader that occupied the land of Canaan? Yes. God took them where his freedom showed. I am giving you a choice, Gideon, to walk in the freedom I have promised to give you. We hear Joshua at the end. This is Moses, not Joshua. Moses, as he was getting ready to breathe his last, he's talked to the leaders of Israel. This day I call the heavens and earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Now look here. Choose life. It's pretty simple, isn't it? He doesn't say understand life. Choose life. So that you and your children may live, that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice. Hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. And he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord is our life. And we will choose to walk in the freedom he has given us. Choose to see ourselves in the freedom that he is offering us. Choose to allow him to change us in ways we cannot even imagine. And we do that by loving him back, listening to his voice and the word through the Spirit of God, holding fast to him, regardless of what this world will say to you, and understand that he will give us life. Life. We see this in the life of Peter, named Simon. Matthew 16, 17, and 18. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter," that is a small stone or a pebble, "and on this rock," I believe that rock means his declaration that Jesus was the Messiah, "on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Did he make it? Yes. Was he perfect in his walk? No. He denied Jesus three times. And Jesus raised him up to be a chief leader in the early church. It's no different today. God gives us the freedom to accept or reject his offering of Jesus on the cross for our sin debt. We can ignore it. That's what that picture was showing. Man walking away from the cross. You can do that. He gives you the freedom to reject him. You will not like the end result. God gives us the freedom to allow the Holy Spirit complete and unfettered access to every area of our lives, rewiring our thought process, thinking differently. And God gives us the freedom to accept or reject his word of truth. God loves us enough to give us the freedom to reject him. Because true love must be given with the possibility of rejection, or it's not true love. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 as we end. Do not let the wise brag of their wisdom. Do not let heroes brag of their exploits. Don't let the rich brag of their riches. Boy, you hear that a lot on whatever media you listen to. If you brag, brag about this and only this, that you understand and know me. Show Jesus, not yourself. I am God and I act in loyal love. I do what's right and set things fair, right and fair, and delight in those who do the same things. These are my trademarks. How different would your freedom be if what consistently came to your mind and out of your mouth was bragging for God? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for just your word. Thank you for allowing us to be in it. And Lord, we'll have to chew on this a little bit and see where we are at in our relationship with you. Am I walking in your freedom? Or am I still being controlled from the things of the past or what I want to do or whatever that might be? Am I being controlled by something else other than your freedom? Do I even know who you are as Savior? I choose that today. I choose to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior and begin living in the freedom and the love that God has for me. Is fear my constant companion? Anxiety. Is the woe is me? If God had just been better with my childhood, I would be better today. Is that where you're at today? Or are you sitting here going, God has given me the freedom to redefine who I am in Christ Jesus. I choose that. I have no clue what to do next, but I'm trusting His Holy Spirit to lead me in that direction. And I thank You for Your glory alone. Amen.